This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. On this date, in 1995, 168 people died, 700 were injured, when a bomb put in place by Timothy McVeigh exploded in front of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. A Michigan man was one of the co-conspirators in that domestic terrorist attack. Here to talk about that is Greg Staskel. He's a former FBI agent, and he wrote about this for originally TickleTheWire.com, which is a service for federal agents or federal employees, law enforcement employees. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I should say welcome back to Stateside. You've been here before.
I have.
This Michigan man's name is Terry Nichols. What exactly was his connection to Timothy McVeigh?
Well, he and Timothy McVeigh met when they were in the Army together. Terry was, at the time of the bombing, was residing in Kansas, but he had previously resided in Michigan and grew up, and the family farm was up near Decker, Michigan.
You wrote that McVeigh and Nichols did some research on making a large bomb at Nichols' farm in Decker. What kind of research were they doing?
Well, the particular bomb that they made, ultimately, was what they call an AmFlow bomb, which is ammonium and fuel oil. What they did were experimenting with mixtures of the amount of ammonium to put in with the fuel oil. They experimented with that and also with some fusing and things like that.
So they were blowing up things out there by Decker?
Correct. Our evidence teams found pieces of shrapnel and trace amounts of the explosives and things like that.
Now, we talked about how many people were injured and died in the Oklahoma City bombing. How big was that bomb?
What they did was they actually got 55-gallon drums, and then they rented a truck in Junction City, Kansas. They had stored the ammonium nitrate and the fuel oil. They also had a certain amount of racing fuel, which is much more explosive than just regular fuel oil. So they mixed ammonium nitrate with the fuel oil in these 55-gallon drums and then loaded them on the back of a Ryder rental truck and ran fuses, duplicate fuses, to the cab of the truck. That's the bomb that was driven to Oklahoma City on the 19th of April.
The big question is, why? Why did they blow up a federal building and kill all those people?
Well, Timothy McVeigh, after he left the service, and maybe while he was in the service, started to follow certain ideologies. And among them was white supremacy. There's a book called The Turner Diaries, which is sort of a white supremacist manifesto. Also sort of an anti-government, anti-Semitic, and he got into that. Who knows what else, but this sort of built up. And he was actually at the Davidian compound during the siege when, ATF had tried to do a raid there. The raid was unsuccessful, but then they had basically a barricaded gunman situation, and all the Davidians were in this compound and were there for 51 days. That siege ultimately ended on the 51st day, the 19th of April.
I want to talk about that date. Remember that date, April 19th. We'll talk about that later.
So the siege ended that day, but it ended with this fire that was actually determined. The fire was set by the Davidians themselves, and basically they had a suicide pact, and they decided they weren't going to give up. A good number of the people that died didn't die from flames. They died from self-inflicted gunshot wounds. Rather than surrender, they either committed suicide or allowed themselves to die in the fire.
Let's put a pin on that just for a second, because I want to talk about what happened to Nichols afterwards. A couple of days after Timothy McVeigh was apprehended, the FBI went to the Nichols farm in Santa Lac County. You were there, right?
That's correct. I was one of the SWAT team leaders.
What were they thinking that you guys might find?
Timothy McVeigh had listed the farm near Decker on the registration form at the motel where he stayed the night when he had loaded the bomb in the truck, spent the night at the motel, and then drove from Junction City, Kansas to Oklahoma City when he parked this rental truck next to the Murrah Federal Building. When the explosion went off, of course, the truck was destroyed, and it threw the axle a couple blocks away. But when they found the axle, they found the vehicle identification number, the VIN number on the axle, traced it back to the rental place in Junction City, Kansas, used a phony name and a phony address when he rented the truck. But they started doing what they call a neighborhood investigation, where they fanned out, found where he had stayed the night before the bombing. And there he had used his real name and the farm as an address. So that's what led us to the farm in Decker.
So you didn't know about Nichols at the time. You put it together after seeing this address.
I believe that's correct. At least we didn't, the SWAT team, when we secured the farm. And we had no idea who would be there. We didn't know if there would be additional co-conspirators, whether there was booby-trapped. There's all kinds of possibilities.
As it turned out, as you mentioned earlier, Terry Nichols had moved to Kansas, but his brother James was living at the farm. Did he have any idea what was going on?
You know, we were never able to prove he had anything going on. I mean, knew about the bombing or the conspiracy, but it's hard for, I think, anybody to believe, certainly the people that were involved in the investigation, that he didn't have some knowledge what was going on, in as much as they were building and testing bombs at the farm.
James died a couple of years ago. Terry Nichols is in a supermax prison near in Colorado. I read this online somewhere. I read that he shares a cell block that's commonly called Bomber's Row, where Ramzi Youssef, the guy who was part of the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center, is there. Eric Rudolph, the Olympic Park bomber, and Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. That's quite a combination to have in one little cell block. We talked about April 19th for a second. Timothy McVeigh chose April 19th for a reason. First, what we were talking about with the Branch Davidians. There's another date that is involved here as well.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that he intended to do it on April 19th for any other reason other than that was the date that the end of the siege with the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. But as it turned out, in sort of, I guess, a perverse twist of fate, that turns out to be April 19th being what they call Patriots Day, and it's of special interest in Boston, because on that date at Lexington Concord is when the Minutemen and the British faced off, and the famous shot heard round the world that started the American Revolution occurred on April 19th.
We also had a bombing right around there in Boston around the same time at the Boston Marathon a few years ago. Was that a coincidence or was that intentional too?
Well, it was intentional in the sense that the two brothers that bombed the Boston Marathon did it because they knew, of course, that there would be a crowd watching. But the Boston Marathon is always run on a Monday near the time of Patriots Day. It's like a lot of holidays. They celebrate it on a Monday to make an extended weekend. So that particular marathon, I believe, was run on the 13th of April. This year's Boston Marathon was on the 15th of April. That is the tie-in.
Well, you'd written this article several years ago that explains the history of April 19th, and then you kept bringing it back up to different publications because of all these ties, and the Boston Marathon was another example of why you needed to bring this story forward. Is the April 19th date going to continue to be something that, you know, the more radical militia might look to as a date to act?
I would suspect that would be the case. Interestingly, when Timothy McVeigh was arrested, he was wearing a T-shirt. On it, it had a quote from Samuel Adams. One of the men, Paul Revere, was trying to warn before the shot heard round the world. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. Underneath, McVeigh had scrawled, "Maybe now there will be liberty."
Greg Stascoll's piece is titled The History of April 19th, American Revolution, Waco, and the Oklahoma Bombing. You can find it at TickleTheWire.com, which covers federal law enforcement news. And it's also been published in this magazine for FBI agents. What's it called?
Well, it's the Society of Former FBI Agents magazine.
I'm not on their mailing list.
And it's called The Grapevine.
Well, thanks very much for coming in and telling us about this history.
You're welcome. Thank you.